We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And welcome to the show. It is almost 9 minutes after 6 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We are live, and we will be here live all the way up until just about 7 o'clock at News Radio 930 WBEN. And joining us right now, we have the very estimable and esteemed Dr. Mark Epstein with his thoughts on the Mueller report, what it means, where we go next. Dr. Epstein, as always, thanks for joining us on WBEN.
Good to be with you.
Your biggest takeaway, sir, from the report?
It was very unimpressive. I mean, for all that money, they say that it costs $35 million, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. What they don't tell you is how much it costs, for example, for the White House to provide 1 million documents, all sorts of other costs that went along with it. And what do we see? We see there's absolutely nothing there. So Mueller left enough, you know, it was a stunt on the business of obstruction.
Yeah.
Because it was a sop to the Never Trumpers and the loonies who just want to keep mining this conspiracy theory forever.
Now, what do you make of the fact that, you know, if Bill Clinton were still president, this guy claimed executive privilege on, you know, his inner monologue. You know, like you couldn't get anything out of Bill Clinton. Trump let his attorney sit with Mueller for 34 hours. All the notes you're hearing in the second volume where Trump is saying, you know, I'm effed and all this other stuff, that's all coming from secretaries of his attorney general's notes, from Rob Porter, from all Hope Hicks and his own son. Where do you get the idea that he just basically said, have at it?
Right. I mean, he essentially claimed no presidential immunity. The attorney general said he could have claimed immunity on all sorts of issues. He said, go for it. He obviously had a very shrewd strategy. His shrewd strategy was to be cooperative, really bend over backwards in a way no executive under examination has ever done before. And on the public level, he never let this search for the collusion issue have any legitimacy in his eyes. So he kept berating Mueller. He kept berating his team. We all know about this. But on the other hand, he was as transparent as it gets.
Dr. Mark Epstein is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Some people are analyzing this and saying that this leads the door open for Congress to take it to the next level. What do you see happening on that front?
Well, I think there's a fringe within the Democratic Party that isn't under control. And I think that there will be people who want to scream impeachment, Schiff, Nadler, Cummings. The issue is you're getting close to an election now. If this is what the Democrats are going to run on, I think from a political point of view, it'll be catastrophic for them. I think there's a whole segment of the voting public that couldn't care less about this at this stage of the game. And what they're interested in is what their 401ks look like. They're interested in the fact that their wages are going up, and they're interested in the fact that they also have a variety of jobs to choose from when they go in the labor market. That's what I think they're concerned with.
Well, I would argue that the Green New Deal was off its hinges, and it seemed to, you know, that's the party that thinks that's what America wants. So I think that's spot on. Here's another question I have for you. What is it about this Adam Schiff guy? He runs around Do these guys really think that Mueller, like, for example, Mueller had attorneys that represented the Clinton Foundation. These were some of the most partisan people. If you were investigating Hillary Clinton and you brought Jay Sekulow and Rudy Giuliani to do it, the Democrats would be up in arms over how partisan, the folks were that were looking into Clinton's campaign. Yet you have all these left-wing people, part of the mob that are going after Trump, and yet Adam Schiff and Nadler, and they think that they're going to find something in Mueller's report that Mueller himself couldn't find?
Look, Nadler in New York has always run scared. He's worked diligently to have a place of power within the Democratic caucus, and he looks over his shoulder and he sees someone like Ocasio-Cortez, primary, a stalwart friend of his, and get in. So whatever position AOC is going to take, Jerry Nadler is going to go to the left of her because he is worrying about his own skin. That's just the situation in New York City.
He's got a lot of skin to worry about.
No.
No, but as far as these other – why would you want Robert Mueller to testify when he just gave you 500 pages of everything he's going to say?
I just think that this is rhetoric to the true believing base. I mean, you bring Robert Mueller in, then Republicans are going to start asking him very uncomfortable questions.
Oh, it's a slippery slope.
Happened? What?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
It is, and the calling for the redactions. They know it's nonsense. You're not allowed to release grand jury testimony, and the Attorney General isn't going to release the grand jury testimony. It's like a kid throwing a tantrum in a supermarket when the mother won't let them take a certain candy they want. Hmm. It doesn't matter. Hand them the candy, they'll still scream. It's too far gone.
Dr. Expedient, what do you think of the bid now to investigate the investigators and hold people accountable from the previous administration who did certain things that don't sound like they're very proper?
Well, so the conservative position has been all, not the conservative, but I mean the, let's say the Sundance position that you could see at the conservative treehouse, their position has been that essentially the Mueller team was just a lateral move of the people who had been involved in this plot all along. So that whole team just transferred over. And they brought Mueller in, but they were essentially in place. Well, Mueller was brought in as a convenient figurehead. You know, great reputation, untouchable, man in his 70s. What's he going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and start directing these people? And I think that Mueller probably wrote in because, you know, like Don Quixote. He thought he was going to right all the wrongs, and then I think he saw that he was in quicksand. And either he realized it or someone he trusts says, listen, you better get out of this thing. Now, they got out of it by indicting Stone, Papadopoulos, Flynn. You know, it was all a cover, in my opinion. The rule of law was shredded over this. The FISA court applications were shredded. The use of the NSA database by contractors like Fusion GPS, bringing in the Brits and all of this business, and the Australians, this is as ugly and as messy as it gets. The question is, will the president be able to get, you know, what he considers his rightful pound of flesh, and are there other people within the Republican Party who are going to pursue this aggressively? That's what I think it amounts to.
What does your gut tell you?
My gut?
And your brain.
That I need to lose weight.
Well, your gut and your brain, you know.
No. My gut tells me that Barr didn't take this job because he had better things to do. He took this job. He'd already reached this position already. He's a highly respected person. My feeling is that from the outside, he felt that there were terrible, terrible realignments of the American institutions that really are our guardians, and it was for the worse, and that somehow the ship has to be set right. Now, how high this goes, who this involves, if they're just going to have a few sacrificial lambs, I have absolutely no idea of how that's going to play out. But I don't think that Andrew McCabe is going to be running around town as an Amazon top seller, going on television shows, telling people that he's a patriot and he did the right thing and he'd do it over again. I wouldn't want to be him right now.
No, I they're coming, and it's like a slow-moving freight train. But I'll tell you that Michael Horowitz is now going to be the next household name through this entire thing, and it's basically, you know, the inspector general. They always hold those guys. They're above partisanship.
Look, essentially what the Mueller probe was doing, it was like there were gears turning, and what the Mueller probe did was you stuck something in the gear so the gear stopped, right? So that is, you aren't going to have grand juries indicting people or looking after people while the Mueller probe was going on and before the report was issued. They threw down their hand. This is the report. In the case of McCabe, there was a criminal referral sent. Now, everyone uses the term criminal referrals. I have a friend who was a U.S. assistant U.S. attorney. He said it's a meaningless term. Either you convene a grand jury or you don't. You don't convene a grand jury for 2 years to make a decision as to whether or not you want to indict, let's say, someone like McCabe. So my hunch is that no one was convened. No grand jury was convened. And now there's no reason to say that you can't convene grand juries over these issues.
Hmm. All right, stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, Dr. Epstein, the things that we found out today, and by the way, Volume 2 of this Mueller report, it reads better than any Bob Woodward book I've read. I mean, there's some you know, things in here. You're getting no varnish. This is what's happening behind the scenes. And a couple times there's some, back and forth with, the Trump finds out from Jeff Sessions. If there's a loser in this entire Mueller report, it really is that Jeff Sessions should be eating boiled peanuts watching an Alabama college game on Saturday. He looks like he's way over his head, has no idea what the hell he's doing. And the way the president's talking to him, I mean, I've had a lot of sympathy for the guy. I just think he's just totally an incompetent.
Well, look, one of the reasons I think that the people who got involved in this business going after Trump had the temerity to do what they did was because they had been, they used the term deep state. I prefer managerial state. These were long-term members of a very massive managerial state. And here they see an Arab East. You know, they see someone from absolutely nowhere, has no connections to how the bureaucracy works or the ins and the outs from any perspective, either as an elected official or someone who's worked within the bureaucracy. So they thought that a guy like Trump was easy pickings. I think that their fatal mistake, two big mistakes. One, I don't think they were that smart. And the second mistake was Donald Trump obviously has a personality that stands out, to put it mildly. I think an ordinary person, a regular person with ability, who had been confronted with what Trump was confronted with, would have had a nervous breakdown. But the more these people, the more this became apparent to Trump as to what was going on, the tougher he got. That goes without saying. So all the things that we consider, or the people say, I wish he'd stop tweeting, I wish he'd stop doing this, all the characteristics of Trump that people actually say are unattractive to them, and the reason why the people who couldn't stand him thought they could take him out, those very qualities, I think, made him capable of standing up to them and surviving.
And speaking of, Dr. Mark Epstein has a piece in the newenglishreview.org. It's called Why Donald Trump is an Existential Threat to the Managerial State. Absolutely excellent piece. NewEnglishReview.org, Mark Epstein's Why Donald Trump is an Existential Threat to the Managerial State, really puts it in black and white, and this happened like 2 weeks before the report came out, so check that out as well.
It is 24 minutes after 6. We're going to take some calls right now on WBEN, and you guys are going to have to hit the button in the next room. You know how to do that. Line 1, it is Richard in East Amherst. You're on WBEN with Dr. Mark Epstein.
Yes, I was going to ask him a question about who really controls the government, but he has said this, and it's my belief because of very close ties to people that control this government. It is not us. It is not the Nancy Pelosi's or AOA's. It's the elitists. It is the globalists. They do not want this country run any way other than the way they want to run it. And as Dr. Epstein said, he is a threat. He's a boy from Queens, okay? You can't beat them. They are machines. They keep working. That's where the rub comes in, and he has said that. But more than that, they are smooth people. These people just sit back and a couple of words, and things go in their direction.
All right, Richard, thank you for the call. And Dr. Epstein, have you a thought on that thesis advanced by Richard?
Well, I don't think they're that smooth. I mean, I think what you're really witnessing now is a thoroughly corrupted elite that has just been growing exponentially. I mean, in my piece, I talk a little bit about Buffalo, especially in the conclusion, and I point out that back in the 1970s, right, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Buffalo, there was the first organized crime task force here. There was real crime, real associated with union corruption. Buffalo had a much bigger population, and you essentially had 9 lawyers running the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District out of Buffalo, and that includes 17 counties, right? Today, if you look on the publicly printed roster, there are 54 of them. Ask yourself, what do they need 54? I mean, Buffalo's population has fallen. The biggest employer is UB, not Bethlehem Steel. So how is it that this thing has grown, and like exponentially? I said it's like a Malaluka, like the Malaluka tree in the Everglades that winds up taking over all other vegetation and just squeezing the life out of it. That's essentially what I claim is going on with the bureaucracy. And I don't know that anyone ever pays attention to it.
Sounds like kudzu.
Right. Well, the Malaluka. It's the Malaluka. It's now become a hazard in 7 states in the South.
He's and a botanist. He's a political expert. He's everything.
It's he's an astronomer.
It's Dr. Mark Epstein.
He's an arson investigator.
I love
it. He does it all.
We're going to get his take on Notre Dame after this break.
Dr. Mark Epstein with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Coming up, we'll ask Dr. Epstein about orcas. Yeah, man. Learn all sorts of things during a news break here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia right with you. And we've got some calls coming in for our guest, Dr. Mark Epstein. By the way, we did put Dr. Epstein's piece from the New English Review up on the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page. Hopefully you will check that out. Guys in the next room, you want to do what you got to do with the phone buttons, both of them, please, so we can proceed with the proceedings or commence with the proceedings again. Or would that be recommence with the proceedings? Dr. Mark Epstein is with us, and let's go to line one. It is Peter in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Peter, you're on WBEN with Dr. Epstein.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Dr. Epstein. Listen, David raised that very important point about the privilege that the president did not exercise, which is a very important point. I think Nadler and they are bluffing. I don't even think Mueller will be called. I don't think he's going to show up there because they are opening themselves up to serious, serious judicial problems. And I think my take on this is this. The Democrats in the deep state, they have to go all the way. This is balls to the wall for them because never thought this was about actual hatred of the president. This is about, my belief is that wrong was done during the Obama administration and even before, that every successive president just covers up and continues on because they are part of the same deep state. I think nobody bargained for the president. And I think it's not about hatred. It's about everyone who's spoken out against the president and hammered him and disrespected him and attacked him. They have all been involved during the Obama administration in some way. And this, I think, has to do with wrong that they have done. That if the president could get his hands around going after those issues, they know they're in serious trouble. And also, I come from an island. Actually, let me just say this. I am now a legal resident of the United States. Even though I'm a Canadian citizen, I've gotten my permanent residency from America. So I'm speaking now on that behalf. I believe, honestly, that they are trying to take him out because they cannot afford for what Obama did to ever become known. And that is my point.
Wow, excellently said. Well done. Well,
thank you, Peter.
What do you think about that, Dr. Epstein?
Well, in my essay, I essentially argue that you really have, you hear the term used, unitary party, that the Republican elites have long ago sort of acquiesced to the notion that really Washington is a Democrat town, and that occasionally, you know, they could have the White House, they may even have majorities in the Congress, but they're never really going to be able to affect how policy is made according to the particular platform that they may have run on. And what Trump represents is an actual threat to that. I mean, Trump came in and just assumed, you know, I won, and we're going to do things. You know, like President Obama said, elections have consequences. The Democrat view is that if a Republican gets elected president, it should be inconsequential. And that's why I think he's really exposed the Republican Party. I'm not talking about local Republicans or local governorships that are held by Republicans, which is substantial, the majority of governorships. I'm talking that on the federal level, you now have a bureaucracy that's totally, has always been dominated by Democrats, but now it's a Democratic Party that doesn't have the same vision of America that, let's say, Democrats and Republicans had circa Eisenhower and Kennedy, right? I mean, the basic vision was the same. Now you have people who see America as being two very, very different kinds of countries. You have a real culture war. And as I say, at the end of the day, a culture war is a war to the death. This is something that can't be papered over.
That's excellent. Let's go back to the phones.
Let's go to Ty on WBEN in 1 second here. Line two, Ty on a cell phone. Ty, you're on WBEN. Say hello to Dr. Mark Epstein, kind enough to join us from NYC.
Hey, Dr. Epstein, how are you? I actually have two questions. It's actually one question in two parts. My first part is, with the 2020 election upcoming and this future investigation going forward, is there a chance that the Trump administration can push too hard, actually detracting voters from his little camp or his side? And the second question, which is actually...
Let me just ask for clarification. Push too hard in which sense, Ty?
Well, on the investigation that's incoming, and it's coming. We can all see it. I mean, that's just obvious. Whether or not things were done, that'll all lay the cards on the table when they lay. But how he goes about it, and I don't. I'm not saying he has say in it, but obviously to push forward on it, or at least maybe some surrogates down in Congress.
All right, well, let's take that question first. When it comes to investigating the investigators, Dr. Epstein, which would be the most politically expedient and popular way to do it?
The reason you see the Democrats lambasting and smearing and a bar with all these ad hominem attacks is because the Attorney General is the obvious person who's going to be spearheading any investigation. So they're now transforming Barr into it's like he's a clone of Trump. That's what they're attempting to do, because I think a lot of them are very frightened. The ones who really know what went on know that there was an egregious act taken by the national security apparatus, and the FISA courts were abused and defrauded effectively. And so the screaming gets louder and louder. You know, the Wicked Witch of the West, when they first throw the water on her, she starts screaming, "I'm melting," you know, but then the voice dissipates as she actually starts to melt. So watch what would happen. They're screaming now. Watch what happens if indictments do get handed down. I mean, that's going to just reconfigure the entire kaleidoscope.
What was your second question, Ty?
Well, my second question was on the charges coming forward. I'm a veteran. I'm up here in Western New York. I have eight of my fellow veterans standing here, or at least sitting in the vehicle and my other vehicle with me. We talked about this at length, and we range in age from 50 to 22 years old. Some of us are still wearing the uniform. Some of us have retired. Some of us have gotten out. We debated our oath. We took that oath very seriously. Every year I go to Arlington to say goodbye to 13 friends. That's every year. And when we look at that oath, we kind of figured that, you know, at the end of the day, this comes down to where our oath picks up and where it ends as citizens. We spoke about this at length. The bigger issue I have with this is, based upon what I've seen, just what I've seen off of media reports right now, especially between Page and Strzok and McCabe, I don't know what else to call this. I looked up the U.S. Code on it. That's treason. I don't know how else to say it. That's treason. You attempted to unseat a duly elected president to subvert or at least omit the greater population's right to actually go ahead and vote and have that vote counted. And I know that's a rather mundane way of saying it in such a way, and I don't want to hyperboil the situation, but that's treason to me. I mean, you're basically...
All right, well, Ty, let's see what Dr. Epstein has to say about that. Is it true, in your opinion, Dr. Epstein, that this would be a treasonable offense?
Well, the actual treason... our definition of treason legally in the Constitution is very different than a dictionary definition. So in the criminal code, you have to be plotting against the United States in time of war. That's our definition of treason. Were these activities treasonous? Yes. Were they seditious? Yes. Are they criminal? They should be handed up to a grand jury, but from everything that I've seen and heard, yes, they are criminal. They're very, very serious. And it exposed the fact that these courts, which is supposed to be circumspect and on a special level, are really acted like just rubber stamp courts. You know, when the authorities come in and ask for warrants, the warrants get granted, and they get renewed and renewed and renewed. And when you listen to people talk, when you listen to Rosenstein talk about how many layers it went through, and he was the final signator, and it already had been gone through this layer and that layer and the other layer and the other, this, he's just saying, and I just put a rubber stamp on it. And so he doesn't want any culpability. I guarantee you that Attorney General Barr, despite his compliments to Rosenstein, may have a very different view of how he really operated in his job. And he didn't let him resign. He wanted to go a few weeks. He wanted to go in March. He was prevented from going in March because, you know, the Attorney General took the position, you're not going to leave me with this mess. It was like Tommy Franks. He goes into Baghdad, and he says, I'm retiring. I mean, who ever heard of something like that? You go in, and you finish the job. And I think that's the reason why Barr made him stay on.
We're going to get some more calls on WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And it's Gary in Boston. Gary, welcome. You're on with Dr. Epstein.
Yeah, how you doing? I believe it's high time for term limits, because I can't believe these Democrats are following this Cortez with the Green deal. It's so stupid. And I can't believe they're probably laughing behind it, but they have no choice. We'll have men in government if we have term limits. We won't have little puppies following their leader.
All right, Gary. Thanks. Thank you very much for the phone call, Dr. Epstein. Term limits, would that do anything to basically stop or at least decrease the power of what you call the managerial state?
Essentially, what's happened is the legislature writes unreadable bills. You know, Speaker Pelosi said on Obamacare, you have to pass it before you know what's in it, right? And she might have been a Freudian slip, but it was the truth. So then when one of these bills gets sent up to, let's say, the Supreme Court, you had Chief Justice Roberts twisting himself into a pretzel because the court is supposed to make a law work. But he was actually arguing against the position of the Obama administration as to what the bill was. Instead of sending the bill back to Congress and saying, listen, this thing doesn't pass muster, clean it up. But this isn't the way it works today. The Congress passes these things. They're happy to hand it over to the an unelected judiciary that acts as a super legislature. And then and this is how the judiciary works. If they have to, let's say, deal with integration or busing or something like that, they use the consent decree. They bring the parties in and you sign a consent decree. This thing called a consent decree lasts forever. So what you have are people abdicating what their responsibilities are. You know, the famous polka, I don't want her, you could have her, she's too fat for me. This is essentially what has happened to the whole process of making legislation and then enforcing it and carrying it out.
You know, this wouldn't
little,
be the
little pre-Dingus Day polka for you.
But, you know, this wouldn't be the first. I mean, if you look at what happened after the 72 election, you know, they took a duly elected president and vice president. They went after the vice president, knowing full well that they wanted to go after Nixon all along. Then they lost the VP. They replaced the whole ticket. I mean, the Democrats have a game plan. I mean, if you look at all the attacks on Mike Pence right now, it's because there are people in the Democratic Party right now that believe that Trump can be impeached, and then they've got to go after the vice president at the same time.
I'm sure there are people who think like that. I just don't think from a political self-interest that the Democrats are acting in a rational way. I think this is a very irrational way to act. And the markets reacted that way too today. Well, the Dow was up about 130 points.
Right.
Everyone is looking at their 401s and they're seeing the wages rise and all this thing. You know, Obama was promising us, forget it, you're not going to have growth beyond 2%. You're not going to have all the things have evaporated, which is why, in a sense, Obama is the odd man out. And also has been very, very silent on this business because I don't think he wants any spotlight shining on him anytime soon.
That's very true. I mean, you could totally sense that there's awkwardness anytime, you know, because even Susan Rice, most of these, with the exception of Clapper and Brennan, most of the names that you're hearing, you can't even get them to show up for a paid speech.
Yeah, they're not... They really don't want to see this thing revealed. They really don't.
So we obviously are running a little bit short on time, but we've got a couple of minutes. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from today and the Mueller report's release? What do you see as fallout, and what do we do with it?
I think that the screamers are going to keep screaming because that's what they do. I think the real issue is what the Trump administration is going to do. You know, Rudy Giuliani, when he ran New York City and was a U.S. attorney and was in the attorney general's office as a deputy, he's a bare-knuckles guy. I mean, I think that there are people that really, really want some resolution of what went on. I mean, they believe there was a coup. I think there's a large part of the president's base that believes this was an attempted coup. And I think that they want this, now that this Mueller report is pretty much out of the way. I mean, the whole idea of this, that Mueller says that the president didn't prove that he didn't obstruct, that turns all the notion of how our judiciary operates on its head.
It's up to the state to prove the guilt of the accused.
Right. You don't bring someone in and say, prove to me you didn't do it. It's nuts. So... This Mueller did this because he obviously had activist people, had people who worked for the Clinton Foundation, he had Wiseman, he had all these types working for him, and they were loaded for bear, and they came home with what? They caught a rabbit? They said they went out on deer hunting season, and they came back with a rabbit. That's it.
All right, Dr. Mark Epstein, we have put a link up to your article about the managerial state and President Trump's effect on it on our Facebook page, and hope you get a lot of hits.
Thanks a lot.
Dr. Mark Epstein, a very blessed Passover to you starting tomorrow evening and ending Saturday evening, and we're very, very grateful for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Mark Epstein joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. Well, hopefully you enjoyed today's fine program. We sure did enjoy putting it on for you. We'll be back tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock with our very special guest, who is going to be Barry Schwartz, who is the world's foremost authority on the Shroud of Turin. Is it the burial shroud of Jesus?
I can't wait. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Joe. We gotta go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.